Hello and welcome to Side Dish, our podcast about long run. Everything that you want to know and very little that you need to know. And this one we're sticking with because I've done it a couple times. This is as good as it's getting
this
today.
This is take three.
Yeah, I've been slept real well. We're just going to jam. It's fine. I'm one of your hosts, Brady Steffel. To my right is
Annie Larner.
Yeah, and over here we've got
Tierney Dirks.
Hello, Tierney.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, she's wearing a shirt that says RC Soccer on it.
It's banging. I feel foreshadow.
Bad. I'm just like, looking at your shirt. That was weird. So anyway, we're gonna get into that at some point.
We are.
We're gonna learn a whole bunch about those things.
No,
about
we've got some soccer. Interesting updates that are related to soccer. Just buckle your seatbelts,
yeah,
folks.
We're gonna talk about grass. We're talking about chia seeds. We're gonna get into the thick of it.
Well, you know what I have in my mouth right now that I just put in is a cough drop because my throat is killing me because of the smoke. I swear.
Oh, it's not the strep you had last week that you're now polluting us with here in person.
It traveled. It's like in a different part. It's like a different part of sore now.
You are legit like non-contagious. I didn't even think about that, right?
I am. I've been on antibiotics for like 5 days. Okay. No, 4 days maybe.
If I get sick, I'm going to be, let's say, incensed. Let's go with that one.
I mean, does your throat hurt from the smoke?
No.
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 Nothing.
I mean, today's not near as bad.
No.
But Saturday, we had to cancel games.
It was
right.
Bad.
Yeah.
I know.
It was, you'd cough.
I'm like wondering if I got a different virus. Sorry, Brady. Or if it really is just the smoke. I don't know.
You're just the coolest person I know. You're out there in the world just catching things. Whatever. You know, balls,
it's
diseases.
Kids is what it's called.
I used to work in a preschool and like every other week, it was like, and you just come in, you're like, hey.
I mean, it builds your immune system to work with kids. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, what are we doing today? It's like, you guys want to draw or something? I need to sit down. I'm not going to the park.
All right, Brady. Well, you got any buzz around town?
Around town? Which town? Fargo, where I was. Because in Fargo, it's booming. It's good.
Is it?
Yeah,
is it really booming?
It's not a bad city.
How many people live in Fargo?
No idea. I'll find out.
How big was it? I mean, how big did it feel compared to here?
It's like Fargo is so Midwestern. When you leave here, and this isn't like a critique of Fargo explicitly, but if you leave here and you go to the Midwest, if you've lived here your whole life, Midwestern cities are so broad. Everything's really flat and low. Like land is cheap.
Oh, you mean like sprawled?
Yeah, sprawly. Right. 126,000.
Oh,
but it feels so wide because I had to buy a new bicycle tire because I rode the Cyclothon.
Nice, nice.
26.2 miles on a bicycle.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, and I got 21st overall.
Nice.
Ooh, not bad.
Out of how many though?
156.
Okay. All right.
Out of 21.
Yeah. I was fifth in my age group, which is funny because and I don't want to like talk down on Fargo, but I feel like here I would have gotten dumpstered.
Right, yeah.
Like, some dude, like, in his early 70s would have just picked me up, flipped me upside down, and thrown me in a trash can. And I'd just be like...
Cycling is life here.
Is life here. And up there, like, there was some really, really fast guys, and they went off the front. And I tried to keep up, because I met this guy at the beginning of the race, basically, through my brother-in-law. And he's like, I'm going to ride. You like riding? We'll ride together. Like, absolutely. And so he took off at, like, a constant 600 watts. And I blew up immediately because I ride much slower than that. And so I popped and I'm like, well, I'm just going to ride out here in the wind in Fargo all by myself. At least the elevation change is like 90 feet. You know, so there's that going for it. So I'm off riding and then, I'm out there for a little bit and I'm starting to cool down a little bit. And some dude's like, hey, jump on the back. And then there's like six guys that come and I just like get in behind that. And like, I was actually fairly strong for that group. And also being acclimated to altitude. But I was able to like recover really quick, and then I was able to pull really hard, and then our group we picked up a couple more people along the way and rode all the way in, and eventually the guy in the beginning, Zach, he'll never hear this, but Zach, like, we found him like way within the last 5 miles, and so we found him and picked him up, and then he rode with us, and then some guy's like 15, 20 years older than I am. Blew off the line at the end and was like, I'm going. And so I tried to keep up with him and I dumped the rest of the group and I beat Zach. I beat Zach by riding smart.
Brady.
So 21st overall.
It's all those chia seeds.
All those chia seeds. I never had any chia seeds once a day.
So, did you say the Colfax was this weekend?
It was.
What a terrible weekend with the smoke.
You know, it wasn't bad. Saturday was bad. Sunday, wake up. Early morning wasn't that bad. I ran the half.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did.
And it didn't feel like it was too terrible?
No.
Yeah. Nope. I trained for a half, like a few, that one summer where the fires were horrible. Ooh, and yep. I remember just waking, like every single morning, it was like, don't go outside. And I was like, well, okay. And yeah. I was fine then, but you know. Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Was that 20?
Or? I think it was 2020.
Yeah, because that was like one of the worst years of my life. There was nothing to do. It was so hot. It was so smoky. COVID was in full swing. It's like, well, normally I would just go walk around Marshalls or something, but they're like, you might die. You might die outside. You might die inside. You might as well stay home and literally play video games all day. Like, there's nothing to do.
Let's just not even go back there. And I blame myself for bringing that one up.
Bring it up. So yeah, go back onward. To the, like, the nested trauma.
Dark
of
place.
Dark, dark. Very dark. Smoky place. Okay, so a couple things of buzz, restaurant stuff.
Yeah.
This is a super hearsay thing, but I heard that the building that used to be Santiago's Forever, and it's like that brick dilapidated building near 9th and Main, across from the old Main Longmont, that big school.
Yeah. On the other side of the street?
Yeah, exactly.
The where the Broncos paintings
next,
are?
Yeah, right next to that one. Okay. Is that was bought by the operators of Cup of Peace in Boulder. They make like the noodle bowls and the soup bowls, and they're like at Arapahoe and 30th, roughly.
Sign me up.
I know.
I'll be there. I mean, that building needs some serious love, though.
It's literally just walls and a dirt floor.
Yeah.
And like barely a roof. So I don't know what their plan is.
Real
it's
spicy
definitely a project.
You'd think there'd be another building they'd pick, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a cool little building because it's hard to find those like small. Like where you see basically on both sides. It's really cool, but.
So this would be north of Casa Lu, the new building, right?
South.
South.
South. What's on the other side of 9th.
Oh, on the corner.
From Casa Lu.
Okay.
The corner has that lot where it's always the Broncos mural.
Yeah. And
then this one's just south of that.
No, I got it. Yep.
So anyway, that'd be interesting. We'll see if they pull it off.
I was just thinking about that earlier today because that, like, frustration with, you know, like walkability in certain parts of town. And Main Street up to Long's Peak, it's fine, you know,
totally.
North of that. But you get a 9th, and it's just, that's when sort of people start thinking.
But it's like, it's not that far. I mean, if you actually just walk it, but we just think of it as so far because you think of it as this place that's like in the land beyond.
The place that time forgot.
And hopefully Casa Lu will help with that, just like tie it in a little bit more. And
I hope so. Yeah, because it gets pretty reedy up there. You start getting into some of those like, okay, nothing's
reedy.
Been
reedy for a long time.
I mean, it used to be don't go past 3rd on Main. Yeah. Don't go south on 3rd.
Right?
Yeah, and it's great. I think there's plenty of opportunity to redevelop and gentrify. Well, like whatever cheese ball term you want to use for it, but like
urban infill,
revitalization. Sure. Yeah, revitalization. Let's go with the ones that sound good. Have a nice vibe to them. You know, property taxes only. Let's get those up. So, but like up there, there's a few buildings that look very distressed, blighty. Yep. And so I think that like something needs to be done. An investment needs to happen.
Hey, and in one of those blighty stores, actually, a motorcycle shop just opened up. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, I drove by that the other day, and then I saw there was like a ribbon cutting for it. It's like there's a bunch of motorcycles inside. It's on just north of Casa Lu,
yeah.
I think, in one of those narrow little retail. You can see through the windows a bunch of motorcycles.
What kind of, like, new bikes, old bikes?
I don't know.
Because there is, I think, down on around 1st and Main. There's a place called Rolf's, R-O-L-F, and I went in there once.
Maybe that.
And that dude works on some old stuff, and it's pretty cool. I like
that
old
is
bikes.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's right. You're a motorcycle guy. Let me effort to find that.
Yeah, I'm not so much a motorcycle guy anymore. I was before.
Right.
Too, but I do like old bikes. I like old stuff. I like old beat-up stuff. So, but yeah, I think there's a lot that could go on up there. What I would like to see the city
Grand do. Grand Dudes Motorcycle Shop. Sorry to interrupt
you. Grand Dudes.
Grand Dudes.
And what is the old... Grand Dude, what does he sell? Keep working on that. I'll blather about. What do we want to know? Got anything else you want to talk about? Blather about something else?
Oh, man. I wish I knew something to blabber about. Normally I do, but now I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
I mean, don't overthink. Should we talk about
full motorcycle service and repair? I don't know. It looks like old. Looks like vintage. Here's a little vintage Honda, Harley Davidson, Indian. I don't know. Seems kind of cool. Grand Dudes. And they are at.
Oh, like grand, like, okay, like grandpa, grand dude, like
right.
That? Okay, okay.
Right,
I thought
exactly.
It was like grand, grand dude. Like,
right.
You know, great.
They're at 945 Main Street.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's right there by Casa Lu. So anyway, I think they're kind of new. So some energy around 9th and Main. I like it.
Which is good to see. And what I was going to say is, like, I hope that up in that area, as like Casa Luz gets developed, and if they want to develop up to call it 11th for mm-hmm. the time being, that crossing both ways at 9th, all of the ways, all four mm-hmm. around, get some love and just like make it so that but you don't like, because you feel like you're taking your life into your own hands if you're trying to cross any of the streets north of Long's Peak.
Yeah, it's wild.
The speed limit goes up. 9th is a big throughput, like, and people are like, oh, I can't get my car through. It's like, yeah,
right.
But, like, people want to like right. walk and live and stuff.
Good game of Frogger.
Exactly.
Right. So, you only get one life.
Whoa, excuse me.
I'm trying to see what Grand Dude's got for motorcycles, and all I see are. I don't see much. There's an old
Kawasaki. They looked kind of old to me.
Oh, yeah, there's a Honda 4 on his page. I had a number of Honda 4s over the years. Yeah, 550s from the 70s. That looks like one of my old bikes. It's got the drop bars. Very cool. Love to see it. I'll have to check that out. I don't foresee myself getting another motorcycle anytime soon, but I still appreciate
it. Window shopping. Okay, so up next, we've got a Bahachi coming to downtown. And this is going to be a craft cocktail bar serving up Japanese street food and ramen for lunch and dinner.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
That's a deviation for us.
I know. It's time. We really, that's like one area, if you remember when Naomi was here, she kind of like called that out. That was one area. So some cocktails, some ramen downtown. I don't think they've established a location yet. And they're working on it. Last I heard was maybe South Main Station.
Oh, cool.
I don't. That's like so far from final. So I don't know. We'll
Ramen's
see.
Ramen's my fave.
Is it? Have you had the ramen at the one on Night 17th out
like
there?
Like where the Thai Harvard? Place used
to
be?
Yeah.
No, I haven't made it out there yet.
It's really good. They do a really good job. I would say split a bowl because they're really bitter. Big.
It's just my fave. I would be there every day if I could.
Don't bring it up. I'm so sore about
children
that.
Ruin everything.
Get there.
They do. They really do. In fact, we lovingly call them the Ruiners in our family.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. The Ruiners. Capital
but
R.
But we say it with serious love.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's what you have to know. Like, you get that or you don't. Like, if you think that's mean, it's because you don't understand.
That's it.
That it's, like, actually funny and with love. But they are Ruiners.
We went to sushi. What's the one over by Proto's?
Leo?
No, that's the other one.
By Proto's?
Oh, yeah. My husband loves that
Sakura.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, went to Sakura.
Yeah, how was it?
It's good. I always like going to Sakura. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Now they're having you take your shoes off when you jump into the booth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's authentic.
Yeah, so I was like, sure.
I like but it. Maybe but I Brady put... has very sweaty feet, as we've established.
I use antiperspirant on my feet.
Okay, you're set.
I do. I'm good.
And covering Japanese environments.
If I don't, I have what's called hyperhidrosis.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So you went prepared.
Well, I'm always prepared. Because if I'm not, my toes kind of stick together. That's really gross. You're welcome to everybody who listens to this podcast.
All right, coming back to downtown, we've got at 324 Main where Snarkington's used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name, but it's going to be an interior. Did we talk about this last time?
We did a little bit.
Oh, whoops,
go ahead,
I missed that.
Dive back into it. Whatever. Not everybody listens to every episode. Jump in.
All right, it's like interior design, home decor store.
Nice.
Similar to Fig and Ivy, but maybe not so high end and not as much the custom design stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the name of the shop yet still, so I just feel like I'm like, a record right
that's
now,
fine.
But that's exactly what we said
talk
last
about
time.
It. I can't remember the details. Tell me again.
That's there you go.
I'm
that's
asking.
It. That's it. It's like a home that's decor. Fine. So we'll see how she does in that cute little space.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for them. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You got it. I got more. I can keep going.
Well, we got a grass law that's passed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Big turf news.
Turf.
So, yeah. Everybody loves their turf news.
I'm big getting bulletin.
My golf voice on. Yeah, we've got turf news today. You can see that Governor Pola is. So basically, HOAs used to be able to mandate that you plant whatever in your front yard. And I'm looking for it. I had it up somewhere. But it's not like a super complicated law. But they basically said you can't mandate that your whole lawn is going to be turf or whatever. It's kind of a stupid.
And by turf, you just mean like grass.
Yeah, monoculture grass.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and they're saying I think you can no longer prohibit vegetable growing in your yard. Which is pretty cool. And then there's some other rules about hardscaping and stuff. And so took a little bit of power away from the HOAs, which, like, in terms of grass and stuff, I'm all about ripping grass out these days. I used to be like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have my lawn and we're going to be out there. Oh, that's a nice drive. You know, like, that was, I wanted that. I had that Midwest thing. And I had it up, and then you get it, and it's established. And then the dogs, between the running, the one's almost 100 pounds. So he goes out and he, like, skids. And it's like, well, that's done for the year. And then they pee all over it. And then every September, I'm like, the grass held up really well this year. I'm so happy. And then it's like March, and I'm like, it's desolate wasteland up there. And there's dirt, and it's brown, and it's ugly and terrible. And now I'm going to spend like 2 months getting it to, and then it'll be June 1st. I'm like, yay! And then the heat will kick in, and then it'll go dormant, and I have to water it, or it'll die. And so I'm wasting water on grass that's not even green anymore. So I'm a little overgrass.
Yeah.
I'm a little overgrass.
I mean, and a lot of times the front yards have some of the best sun. Yeah. As opposed to backyards, because everybody always plants trees for their, like, mm-hmm. you know, their, the time you spend in the backyard. And so for a vegetable garden, you really need that kind of,
and
like,
I will probably maintain some turf in the front, at least in the short term. I would like to get as much as I can in the back, so the dogs destroy it, whatever. And I can sort of let it go in the front. It's okay, because it's so small. It's like, it's fine, you know, a little bit, but I'm not going to dump gallons and gallons on the back. So I'll do some hardscaping, do some raised beds.
Yeah, to me, the answer is like the mixed, mm-hmm. you know, like maybe a little bed with like flowers and herbs or whatever. I don't necessarily need like rows of potatoes in the front yard, but I would say some sort
I'm up
of...
for whatever you want to do. You want to do that, by all means. I don't care. I used to be like tuck tuck, and now I'm like, whatever, man.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean, yeah,
property rights.
I don't live where there's an HOA. You want to get in there, you want to like native scape or whatever, go nuts. Xeriscape,
yeah, xeriscaping,
go
native
bonkers.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't care.
It's good.
That's good. You want to have rocks,
yeah,
mulch.
What do you guys do, Tierney?
We've got grass front, grass back, mm-hmm. but I mean, in the same, I have been tempted to get like actual turf.
Right.
Because then in the end, it's like mm-hmm. so much easier to do. And then selfishly, I like to play sports. So if we can play sports in the backyard.
Exactly.
And mowing it, watering it.
Yeah.
Then you get the water bill of the summer and you're like, ugh.
What am I spending this on?
But truly, I think playing sports, kids' games is the highest and best use of grass.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, it's lovely and it's nice to go walk on and it's a gorgeous thing, but like from an ecological standpoint, it's sort of a disaster. Like
it's a pain.
Bees and butterflies and junk, like they don't get any use out of
right.
it. You know, and then like you water it and you're like, oh, I'm paying money to drain the aquifer for no real reason.
Hey, so did NOMO May not happen this year?
I'm doing it.
But is the city participating officially?
I thought I saw something saying that they were into it.
But it's weird. Like, I feel like I've seen some mowing happening, and all the parks aren't necessarily overgrown right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like they aren't across the board doing it. Maybe just in some places, some of the boulevards I've seen, like, overgrown. I'm like, did they just not get to it, or are they actually doing NOMO May? I don't know.
I'm doing it. I don't care what everybody else does.
Yeah.
Everybody else in my neighborhood's like either on it or just like farming weeds, like I was saying. I got like a nice
farming
day. Nice dandelion harvest coming in.
I left the dandelions in the backyard. I pulled them in the front. So
yeah,
that's
I pull
my compromise.
Them. Like I go pull, like, you know, if I'm going to have a decent grass, I'm going to try to have a decent grass.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I went to the flower bin and bought some more
seed
for the front yard. You know, it's like, but whatever.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Polis, for your.
Yeah.
Your Polis law, whatever this is.
Snarky, that's probably just garbage.
I got another one. There is a cool little new art collective called the Tumbleweed Art Collective that I just wanted to shout out. And
mm-hmm. Where's this one? Oh, good.
I
so
called out.
We got it.
I had it.
I say this and I really
1333 Kaufman. So this is one of those, you know how down near like 15th and Main area.
She's waving her hands.
You have, like, I know, I'm trying to visually describe.
Yeah, she's making a rectangle with her with
these
her hands.
Long retail
two
strips.
Two syllables.
That sounds like
it's a movie. Okay.
So on Kaufman, so the west side of Maine, mm-hmm. one block over between what would be 13th and 14th, you have 1333 Kaufman. It's that retail strip that's so random.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't think of any landmarks really to point to.
Well, it's saying it's over by that blue corn tacos that just came
kind
up,
of, yeah,
up
but
there.
Like a little bit more south on Kaufman.
Well, there's isn't there a old folks home right there in the
there
one
is,
below
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly. So I think it might be like behind that.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Anyway, it's a cool little a new art collective. Mm-hmm. So they have, it's like a gallery, boutique, studio space, and they're also offering art classes.
Oh, neat.
So they're offering like studio space for various artists for like affordable rates, but then they're also doing, I guess, shows.
Ooh, very fun.
And classes. So all a firehouse art potentially, but less gallery, more collective of artists.
Okay,
so
cool.
Check it out. They're doing a good job over
those.
There.
Those are always fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been into like Walnut. Like there's art and there's art and there's art and there's art, right? And
right.
You
go,
and like
right.
It's always like, oh, well, I'd love to get something from like the Walnut Gallery, but I don't have like $3,500 to spend on like a seahorse statue that's as big as my fist. And like, I'm not saying they're not gorgeous and like, it's probably worth it, but I'm just like, I can't justify this. This is crazy. And I'd like to have something sort of in between that and kind of what we got, you know, that's kind of where I'm at, but I'm not like an art connoisseur.
Yeah.
Like that thing's neat. I like maps.
Me neither.
Like maps.
And oh, like, that's funny you say that, because if you'd like to join my effort, I have this, like, I'm on this mission to get this piece of art that was hanging in Next Door in Longmont, which, by the way, is a new one. That's on my list, too.
Okay.
Did you see Next Door has changed hands finally?
No.
Over there in the Village at the Peaks. It's called Bull Izakaya.
Okay, well, we'll circle back. Tell me more about your art first.
Well, there was this really cool artwork on the wall in there that was a map of Longmont, basically, but zoomed pretty far out. Mm-hmm. Basically, the St. Vrain River Basin was kind of, I would say, the focus. And so it'd show it maybe from like 75th to like County Line, roughly. And it was this mixed media. She had sort of like gold and blues and paper and like and it was etched almost like in rays. I can't even describe it. It was the most beautiful, and it would match my house perfectly. Mm. And it was this map of Longmont, and my heart was just taken by this map.
Whatever Annie's gonna give you for it, I'll pay $200 for.
Well,
I really want this now.
So, but I'm in pursuit. So don't bunk anything up, because I've been like in pursuit of this. You wouldn't believe like how many like doors I've knocked on to get my hands back on this thing. I've heard the latest is that it's down in Denver somewhere at one of their restaurants, maybe down there, but I have yet to verify that. They weren't ready to give it up, which who cares down in Denver?
I know,
it's the St. Vrain River and like Longmont. Right. It belonged, you know, in Longmont. I've since contacted the artist who lives overseas now and tried to see if I could like get her to make me one. But back to your comment, I'm not an art connoisseur. I'm not really an art investor. And I nearly keeled over when she told me what she could make it for me for custom and shipped back overseas. So I'm back to the trail trying to get the original.
How many zeros? What are we looking
at? So many zeros.
So many
zeros. Not like $1 million, but like so many zeros. No, it was like in the tens of thousands, but still too much for me.
That's heavy coughing ensues. You know? That's like, I know.
I
forgot I left the stove on.
It's just a different level that Annie's not quite in yet.
I think my dryer lint is over full. I've got to go empty that real quick. I'll get back to you. Good for artists who can make it work.
Good for people who invest in that kind of art. Like, it's cool, but I'm just, Annie's not that person. Right. Not yet. In life,
I would love to have
forever,
like
really.
Art that I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Right.
The coolest stuff I ever found was I can't remember. Remember the St. Vrain that used to be like a Curiosity's old knick-knacky kind of shop? You remember what that place was called?
Oh, yeah, it's Serendipity.
Serendipity.
Oh,
I went in there.
Loved that place.
A couple of times, yeah. And,
actually, I used to work there.
Did you?
I did.
Nice.
With Vicky.
Nice. I bought this off of you then, because several years ago, shortly after we first moved out here, like for Kelsey's birthday or something, Kelsey has a PhD in physics, and it's light physics and stuff. And they had some like glass slides that would have been used in like a university publication or like a journal article or something. And they would have been used to like set the pictures, the diagrams for that. And they were like of the machines, like old versions of the machines that Kelsey used during her PhD.
Oh, fun.
And
nostalgic.
I got like four of them for like $100. And it's like the best dig I've ever gotten. And they're on the wall. And it's like I got maps and like weird curiosities and stuff. That's my jam.
No, that's about the extent of my art too.
Yeah, and I want like, you know, like
Kirkland's like cheesy prints of something. Like,
I don't go with that. Like I bought a map.
American Furniture Warehouse.
I know exactly. Like,
so. AFW. Just like, yeah, it's a picture of a clown. I don't know, man. It's
Lilies of the Valley portrait.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, I have some pieces from my grandmother, actually my great grandmother, and some other like photography pieces.
I got another one. I'm glad that you celebrate the long heritage of like art that would fit in a funeral home or in like a Perkins. Like, I'm glad that you accept that in your home. Because
it's staging, man. Okay.
From my grandmother passed, she was sick, and she was so sweet, because she's like, oh, I heard that you like this painting that is in the living room. And I'm like, yeah. And I had this really vivid dream when I was like 12, 9 years old or something, and I was sleeping in there. I used to sleep over at my grandparents' house. And like, there's three girls in it. And they were like, they're reading a book, and they were like looked up over the book, and they were like whispering to each other about me. It's one of the most vivid I've ever had. And I mentioned that to somebody, and then that got relayed, and she's like, you should have that. You should have that. And everybody thinks it's super creepy, like the painting's super creepy. My friend came, and he's like, I've known him since, like, junior high, this guy. And so he comes, he's like, hey, what's with the creepy painting? And Kelsey's like, we might need to move that to a different room. And it's like, I never really intended it to live in the
conversation in the room, piece.
It's a conversation piece, yeah. But otherwise, I have like maps of Europe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maps,
like,
are
weird,
good.
Weird stuff.
Okay, anyway. So back to Bull Izakaya.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can look up
what. Longmont, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's a bowl place.
Well, there is.
Oh, it's Japanese. Another Japanese restaurant. It's from Loveland. Small neighborhood restaurant located in Loveland, Colorado, focused on a unique take on a traditional Japanese staples like ramen.
Yes, another ramen.
We're gonna hit up like three.
We've mentioned
three Japanese. Well, one already open and two more coming.
It's not like the same one that we're just like.
No.
Circling around to.
Bull Izakaya, if you say it that way, is already open or opening at the Village of the Peak and Peaks Village at the Peaks, and the other is the Bahachi.
I'd say Naomi.
Awesome.
Like, what a read. That woman, what a
she's called got it. The, she she's, called it.
She's got the beat of the city.
Exactly.
She's just like, we need a couple of these, and then they're like,
here we come.
We got you covered.
What is she going to predict next?
Yeah. she was good. Totally. If you're listening, we'll have you back.
Definitely. Oh, we'll have her on many times.
And I ate at that place this year, that Mexican restaurant, Cantina Rosa.
What'd you think?
It's awesome.
I heard that place was amazing.
It's banging. Yeah, it's super good.
I love the way it looks.
Yeah.
On the inside.
It's cool. Like, it's way cooler than you expect on a random strip mall on, like, 23rd or wherever.
Love it. Right? Yeah. Bringing it. Yeah. Bring it out of the downtown, up to Maine.
Exactly.
And we went in, and what I will say is we could have sat, because I kind of thought it was going to be a little, like, throwing elbows to find a seat. It was busy, but not swamped, because if I go to Hefe's or whatever, it's like, okay, I guess I'll wait for 45 minutes, and then, like, acid's eating its way through your stomach. Like, I gotta, just got any nuts? Like, is this like Five Guys? Can I just get some nuts? Just like a handful of nuts. I'm just gonna pass out. And I'm just like, could you, you know, whatever. And then you don't want to, like, belly up to the bar and, like, because you'll be two drinks in and you won't have to eat anything. You're like, I can't get home. So, but you go up to Cantina Rosa. It was super nice. It was cute. And I got the molcajete. I didn't really know what I was getting. I never had one. I'm like, that looks good. You know, like, you just throw a dart the first time you go in. And it was super good.
Awesome.
Really, really enjoyed it. I can't remember what Kelsey got. She liked it too. Would recommend.
Meanwhile, 99 Saloon opened on Thursday. The new burger bar.
Oh, that opened.
The Gaffner Group. Yep. On Thursday.
Oh, that one's downtown, right?
Yep. Like, where Smokin' Bowls was.
Oh, cool. I saw that.
I wonder what that name, Smokin' Bowls, always seemed a little. It seems to just, I don't know. It
area appropriate?
Yeah. Well, it just seems like it's evocative of something. I can't place it.
I'm trying. My sound effects that aren't working.
Yeah, well,
damn it.
Get one that's got like a duck cracking, quacking.
Anyway, I have not been in. I did go in before it opened and saw the decor and had a pickle shot, which was outstanding. And I don't like pickle shots normally. It was very, very good. But I have not had a burger, although I've heard they're good and affordable.
Oh,
even
are
better.
Which is the opposite of what, you know, he was stepping out and saying he wanted to do. He's like, I don't care if it's a $16 burger. I just want good meat. But I think there's tiers. And, like, you can potentially get a burger for under 10. Just bawling burgers.
I thought, like, somebody in the business was just like, we can't do it that way. It's price everybody out.
I think there were tiers.
And then it's like, one, two, three, four tiers.
You can somehow get a burger for under $10 there, apparently.
I like it. That's good. Yeah, okay.
So, check it out.
Yeah, because they were pot-shotting at them. You were taking shots at them on the subreddit.
Right.
The news. Oh. They were like, who needs a $28 burger? Oh, my God.
Right,
you know, like,
right.
That sort of thing. And it's like, well, you know, I'd try it. And then I'd be like, well, I could still go to Five Guys, and they're still pretty good. So you want to support local.
That's
the
what they – and I think what I heard was they were, like, trying to compete with Five Guys almost pricing, but it was the experience and good ambiance and stuff. So definitely go check it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to Five Guys to be like, let's go for a place to sit.
I never go there.
I go there, and we get, like, the bag, and we drive home as fast as we can before the fries get soggy, and then, because I can't eat, like, I got to do the gluten-free thing. So I got to go home and, like, toast up some bread and stuff. I'm not going to be like, can you fry this bread while you're at it? I want to sit here.
Do you have just, like, a little, like, cooler or, like, a little zippy to just bring your own gluten-free bread when you go out and just, like, slap it on the patty? That's what you should do. You should buy your own gluten-free buns and bring them.
It has to be toasted.
Right.
Gluten-free bread, if you don't toast it, it's miserable.
Right. Truth.
It's like dry and crumbly. It's like your kid made a dirt
paper.
Yeah, just like, hey, Mom, I made you some sand bread. And you're like, I'll actually eat this for some reason. And then, you know, your teeth are ready. If you toast it, it's really not too bad. And if you do the full, like, grilled cheese style thing where you're like, all right, I'm just going to put some butter in the pan and fry it up.
Well, butter in frying fixes everything.
Plus, it, like, stabilizes a little bit.
Right.
Like, you know.
Okay. So. I got one more thing, and then we got to move on to what Tierney came here for today, which is exciting. We couldn't have a whole podcast without donut news. And so it's worth mentioning that out in Johnstown, Duck Donuts opened up, which apparently is just one of these, like, beloved donut shops kind of. I don't think it's quite to the level of, like, Voodoo or whatever. They're just, like, good donuts out of the Carolinas. Maybe that's where my Carolinas reference was from. And they've got lines out the door, and they're slanging. So if you are trying to get your donut fixed because Llama has a donut hole,
stop.
They're slanging donuts.
Stop. I see what you did there.
Slanging nuts. Stop.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Donut hole.
I get it. It's very clever.
Very witty.
Yeah.
Onward.
Oh, in other news, I'm going to pass this along in case anybody happened to miss that we got, like, golf balls the size of dog brains or whatever. They were big. You know,
golf ball size hail?
Yeah. Or a hail the size of what? We got big hail, and I got a couple ding-dongs on the old car. And my brother
has ding-dongs on the old car.
Yeah, which is kind of tragic because it's, like, no miles out. Anyway, my brother, who has a basically brand-new roof, it's, like, 3 years old, said he had his checked and, like, super bad news. And they're like, might need to replace it already. So get it checked, you know, because it's what you're paying your insurance money for. That's what they're there for. So find somebody reputable and not these crazies that, like, show up. And I'm like,
just go through your insurance.
Yeah. They'll give you a name.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Okay. So, Tierney, tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do and kind of. Well, we'll ask you questions, so you go ahead.
Sure. Okay. So I grew up in Longmont. I graduated Longmont High. I played soccer here in town, which kind of circled me back to my career. I played soccer in college at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. And then as I made my way back, I was recruited to coach and thought to myself, why would I want to coach when every single one of my coaches was terrible and crazy and psychotic and didn't make me like my playing career in most cases? So I decided to kind of sign up for it and make it different. And I'm now with the club here in town, which is actually the club I grew up playing in. And I run their rec program.
And what is the club?
So it used to be St. Vrain Express when it first started out.
Was it so small when you were doing it back then? Like,
you know, it's hard to remember because it used to be like SVYSA was the rec part of it. And then St. Vrain was the competitive part of it. And I played all my rec games throughout my career and then went into St. Vrain. And then once I got back from college, it had turned into St. Vrain FC.
Okay.
And then most recently, we merged with a larger club in South Denver. Wasn't sure how that was going to go because when this club came about, of course, you know, a competitive female athlete and most of the girls on my team were the same. Every time we played, Real is the club. We were like, oh, geez, here we go. Like, they're competitive. All they want to win. All they want to do is win. They come at us hard. Maybe some good or bad experiences with parents on the sidelines. And so imagine that.
Parents
ruin it. And we have now been almost 2 years merged with them, and it's probably the best thing we've ever done.
Interesting. And so what's the club called?
Real Colorado.
Real Colorado. And so they comprise like a bunch of South Denver and then like up here in St. Vrain area?
So they pretty much own the region in South Denver. They're like Centennial area, and they have larger programs down there, which would be like ECNL. They have a MLS Next program, which is basically kids jumping on, preparing themselves for MLS.
Hmm. Tell our audience what.
Sorry, Major League Soccer.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
just sorry about that.
All Americans here. We don't understand this. Don't touch it. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Am I not supposed to have a stick if this is the case?
Our girls' ECNL team most recently won the championship. So we're a huge attraction for female soccer, for women's soccer, and that's in the South. And so now our goal is, can we become something of that nature here in the North?
Okay.
We kind of have a bunch of obstacles to get through because Longmont is more of a recreational city, I'd say. Now, I'm not saying competitive people aren't out there. But unfortunately, those type of families end up leaving and going to other clubs outside the city.
Interesting.
Our goal is to bring them here, keep them here, grow them here, develop them here, and then be able to offer that high-level programming within a few years
this is
in
really
this area.
Just like more fodder for my shirt idea, which is Longmont versus nobody. And then
instead of everybody.
Yeah, because yeah. That's just exactly what
we're
it's
just,
like.
We just play recreational
just
soccer.
Like, yeah, dude,
you know?
I just hope both teams have fun.
And that's what we have a recreational program for, right? And right. It's kind of funny because I am the rec director. So I run a program that's U4s, so just the teeny tinies, all the way to U15. So we want to provide.
Why do you say U?
Under 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of how they count shrimp. So that's what I think of, like under 15. So, yeah, just enough kids that it's under. It doesn't work.
Yeah. More, like, on, more on age,
right.
But
because I grew up, so you don't know, like when you count shrimp out, it's like U30 or U15 or something. So it's the amount of shrimp that have to be included for the
soccer and shrimp.
So you're it's like great.
Soccer and shrimp.
Yeah, so you're like, oh, it's U5, so they're like colossal. You know, and I'm like, oh yeah, U5. Yeah,
yeah, probably, it's opposite because they're teeny.
Right. Yeah. U5. Like, oh,
U5.
Wow, they're
just little, oh, just a little U5.
Just little babies.
Just little baby U5s.
I got the ball.
So how many people do you service up here in the North?
So my rec program for the spring season had 900 kids in it.
Wow.
Wow.
On a good season, we'll have about 1,200, and that's the rec program alone. Our competitive program can have like 600 to 800 kids depending on the season, and that's why we want to grow more. We want to get from the rec program, can we grow and develop these kids into competitive players? And for some reason, that stigma is very strong.
What's the stigma?
There's just, for some reason, competitive push is, it hasn't been around for years. And now we're finally kind of, we have that name to back us to say, we can provide that product here for your kids in Longmont. It's not something to be scared of. I think once kids do competitive sports and they have professional coaches, they kind of learn more of a structure. They gain far more confidence, which I've noticed. And that's as a female athlete that played competitively through college. Wish I would have gone further, but I think that that's what gave me a path in life, truly. And that's what caused me to get further education and go to college. Mm. And like soccer paid for my college. And not saying every kid's going to go Division I, but it's also an opportunity for them to get their college paid for, even if it's at a JUCO or if it's at a Division II school, entirely what they want to do. You know, the class of girls that I grew up with, I'd say 8 from that team, all went on to play collegiate soccer and same thing, had their school paid for.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then after our class, I think it kind of faded off, which is kind of weird because that was in 04.
Yeah.
We were just
Tierney and I went to school forever together, so I remember her playing soccer. And sure. I do remember all these. There were a lot of really good soccer players around at that time.
So can you talk a little bit about the state of like soccer in the States and like kind of how that differs from Europe? Because I mean, I've been to Europe a number of times and it's massive. It's a whole different thing. You know, we don't compete really on the world stage in the same way. And then, like, I'd like to touch a little bit too on like contact sports getting, like football in particularly, having a lot of pullback.
Brady's bringing the hard hitting journalism.
I'm curious because I'm genuinely curious because,
sweet
like,
cheese. Okay.
I think it's a compelling sport. I like the way that it's run. I can sit and watch a soccer game. I don't like, when I lived in Europe, I'd put one on because it's like game starts.
That's what everybody does.
Keeps going.
Yeah.
There's no commercials. There's no Bud Light ads, like, you know, right in the middle. But like, how does that, like, what's the state? Is it growing? Is it changing? Are people thinking about it differently? Like,
it's absolutely growing. And I think more so than ever, it's growing from a female perspective too, which is great because, you know, our women's league for years, we never had a professional league. Mm-hmm. We finally developed one when I was in college and then it crumbled. And then come along a few years later, we now have WPSL. So now we have this league that
and what
women,
does that mean?
It's a women's professional soccer league.
Okay.
So now these leagues aren't only just starting at six teams or eight teams or whatever. There's significant number of women's teams in this league from East Coast to West Coast. I wish that it was something that could form here in Colorado, but we're very far off from that. There's also smaller leagues like PSL, Professional Soccer League. There's
Pumpkin Spice Latte.
That's it.
Right.
It's very bougie. Or basic, however you look at it. But I do think that the women's side is growing. Mm-hmm. I think our men's side is kind of going to continue to get surpassed. Now, I'm interested because the World Cup is this summer, and mm-hmm. I think our women's league or our women's team is going to really see a bunch of hard, hard games. We have several other countries that are coming up and making bigger names for themselves and playing better soccer altogether.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
That it's not just kind of like the kick and run leagues like it used to be. So
they're
piecing together the game more tactically.
Because when you're looking at like international competition, it's always kind of sad to see. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna dominate basketball. It's like nobody else plays it. Like, you know, like. But then you get the games that the rest of the world is playing, and then it's like, oh, let's go be part of this international community. You know, we live on the planet, you guys. And like, we're not, soccer is not really our thing.
Yeah.
And so then we don't really show up in the same way. And it's like, well, it would be a lot more compelling for people, I think.
Except for, don't forget the Olympics. We tend to, we show up there too.
We show up, but like, you
we
know,
participate
there's, but there's like certain things that
yep.
internationally we just don't.
I get it.
So.
Yeah, no, I think the World Cup this summer will kind of be a good indicator on where we're at. It's hard to tell. But I also think parents here in the States, depending on the state, but I'll use Colorado for example. Mm-hmm. Depending on your region in Colorado, some families can find that starting a little one at U8 or let's say 7 or 8 years old in a pre-academy program, which is like prior to competitive, is crazy and bonkers. Why would you start your kid out that young competitively? And more than anything, it's not competitively as in the program that we're trying to get those kids involved in. It's trying to get professional coaches in front of these kids at that age. And then parents are worried about burnout. And to be honest with you, once they learn the game, once they love the game, then they want to play it more as opposed to kind of if you're in a rec program. And it's funny because it sounds like I'm selling myself out of a job. But you know, rec program is there for a reason. For kids that want multiple sports, they don't want to commit fully. You know, we have several baseball teams that come over and play rec soccer in the fall, whatever that may be. But once I see kids, like, making that next step into what we have called the junior academy, so it's the step between competitive, they love it. And they learn more about it. They can talk more about it. They're more confident in it. And then they stick with it longer because it becomes like a lifestyle for them. And if you look at it in Europe, I mean, most of them are born with a ball on their feet, right?
Well, and that's like the first time I went over, I studied French. So my French professor was like, if you throw a ball, well, you probably wouldn't throw a ball at somebody in Europe. But it, like if you, a ball comes flying at a kid in the American, they'll pick it up and they'll throw it back or whatever. But if it's in Europe, they'll start kicking it. And it's just like, that's just fundamentally how different it is. And it's very true. I mean, you don't see people playing like, you know, hand-based ball sports and like football and stuff doesn't make a lot of sense. And I mean, this exists to a greater or lesser degree in various countries around the world. Everybody's got their own sport.
Right.
Like, there are places that play cricket.
Right.
I don't have any idea how that game works.
It's very complicated. I've tried to watch it. I don't understand the
rules.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's sticky wickets and all sorts of stuff. And then there's like rugby, which ostensibly is very similar to football, but also entirely different. And we watch these crazy highlights, and it's like, oh, neat. We should play that because that looks pretty cool. And well, we don't. It's whatever. But, you know, like different places find their own thing compelling. We got baseball and football, and those don't really travel around other than Japan playing the heck out of baseball, I guess.
They do.
Whichever.
They show up.
Yeah. But like kind of everybody plays soccer.
Right. And in some, you know, if you talk to somebody, they're like, oh, I played soccer when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like no matter who you come across, majority of people will come across like, oh, I played soccer when I was a kid. Like
right.
Right.
You and everybody else. And then it fades off. Right.
Is
because it's not so much a culture as it is, you know, overseas. Now, depending on your state, though, too, like Texas, New York, Chicago, California, those states are huge for soccer.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I thought football culture was still like massive in Texas and probably still is simultaneously.
Everything is big. I think that they have that competitiveness that Tierney's like trying to talk about, though, where just like, everything is.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything is bigger and that's more.
We use very the jump creative ball line.
Okay, so hang on, just to pivot a second, because I want to discuss this one topic with you in particular, Tierney, which is this USL team, and we had a conversation about this recently. So, just to quickly set the stage for this, Longmont has been pursuing bringing a USL team to Longmont, which is it's United Soccer League.
I believe that's the U.
And do you, it's a tier three soccer league, so kind of like AAA baseball for soccer. And as part of this project, so this team has, USL in general is my understanding, been trying to plant a bunch of teams around the United States, and they have some huge goal of a certain number of them by the 2026 World Cup. And one of those markets that they've been looking at is Boulder. And Boulder doesn't have the land to accommodate the team and the stadium. So they've ended up pivoting, and Longmont has been recruiting them and has earmarked land down in the so-called River District, which, to quickly describe where this would be for you, it's not far from Left Hand. Mm-hmm. If you imagine where Left Hand Brewery is, so where their actual tap room is, and then across the street they have all the parking lot and a Moore operation and stuff. Yeah. Behind there is that mill thing, but then a little bit to the east of that, so on what would be like Bowen, basically, and First, or the train tracks, kind of.
Really? On Bowen?
That,
isn't there like a stone place and a car shop?
The stone thing, I think, is farther to the west, but this is farther east, so... I can show you a map, but anyway, I'm just trying to describe it.
But like,
yeah, it doesn't matter. Exactly. So this particular parcel, and this is what they're calling this River District or whatever, is where this would go. And what they're looking at is building like a professional level soccer stadium that would have 5,000 to 7,000seats. And
And
it would be the home stadium for this USL
this
team.
This is, like, I have not heard anything about this. And I know, it's frankly interesting. I'm floored because there's a bunch of weird stuff in there. And, like, just saying, like, it's just generally industrial, you know, like, trains.
It's, like,
and
the perfect location, though, if you think about this downtown area. And, like, it's walking distance from all of those old townhouses, but it's sort of in this industrial area. So when it's loud, you're not, you know, it's a little bit more accommodating for the noise or whatever. But in addition to the soccer stadium, there's plans for a bunch of, like, multifamily housing that would go around it and some other mixed-use stuff, some parking. There's an interesting plan and some renders of how this, like, stadium would look in order to house this USL team. But then, of course, this field would be used for the school district and other teams around. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love your hot take on this whole proposal.
Love it. I love it. Because for one, again, back to the point, bringing competitive or higher level soccer to Longmont alone. And, you know, we're growing so much into Weld County, grabbing people, making it more accommodating for them so they can see it too. And in a lot of cases, you know, our closest professional stadium is in Commerce City.
Right.
And a lot of kids do travel out there.
Professional soccer stadium?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And so, you know, that's where the Rapids are. And so it's like, you know, a lot of kids want to visualize their future or be able to create that goal for themselves. They can go watch a club game. They can go watch a high school game. But after that, it's like, well, what if I want more? And to have this, like, smaller scale but more attainable goal for kids, especially in Longmont, so cool.
Right. It's good, like, point. Overall, these, like, some of the things that we're working on in Longmont are pretty impressive. And it's kind of cool that, like, Boulder started it. Because Boulder's full now.
Right.
Like, doors are shut. Boulder's full. I mean, it's you got to be able to bribe somebody out of their house you want to buy one at this point. It's like, oh, $3 million. But if you're talking about stuff like this, you got, like, a soccer, like, I had no idea. I know get into how far along this actually is, but like they're talking about
farther
like,
than you think. I mean, it's pretty.
I know they've been talking about for a couple of years actually.
Wow.
They're thinking that they can have like a field in the ground before the World Cup. They probably won't have the whole stadium built.
Wow. I don't
Which World Cup,
scary,
women's though. Or men's?
The 26. Darn. I know.
Drat.
That's.
I got other words to use. I'm so stunned. I'm just like, what the? but like. There's the velodrome that's being rebuilt, like, just out of town, too.
Out in Erie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's not Longmont proper, but that's, like, you know, out in these areas. And it's just, like, okay, there's some pretty cool draws. And I know that, like, running or training facility blew
right.
up as fast as
I know.
It came.
I know.
But, like, these types of things, just it's, like, it's going to be a world-class sport
totally.
Capital if we get some of this stuff on board. Because there's only a handful of velodromes. And not to detract, you know, go back to soccer in a sec, but... like, there's only a handful of these things in the country. Like, if you want to do track racing, it's hard to do because you can't find it. And track racing is bonkers. Like, you got Quadzilla out there tearing the handlebars off his bike. You seen these guys?
Totally.
Yeah. I watched a clip once of some dude, Quadzilla, like ripping the handlebars off a trainer bike, running a toaster. He was putting out so much wattage. Yeah.
I do that every Monday.
Like waiting, like more wattage, holding more wattage for a minute than I can like generate total. And it's like, okay, cool. But like, these are the guys that are out there. And it's so it's super specialized. And like, I'm happy that soccer is less specialized. Cause when I grew up, we didn't have a soccer thing in our city of 15,000 people. That's not oversaw. 13,500 people. There were the sports that you would expect. Football, basketball, track. Cross country, whatever. That's what we had. There was no option for soccer that I remember. Probably some friends think. And now I know guys that grew up in that same city who are, you know, 5, 10 years younger than I am. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go play soccer. I grew up playing soccer. And it's like, what? So things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about building this pretty cool facility down the road.
Yeah, and I like that it's building demand, you know. I mean, I think it's obviously going to be an amenity to, and a service too. And hey, Nick, he's going to be listening to this, and he has a lot of things to say about like the idea of cities building stadiums that mm-hmm. become, you know, ghost town when it's not being used and it's not the best use of like tax dollars and they don't pay off. And he has a bunch of studies he can cite. But this is a pretty low impact. Like, we're not talking about a huge stadium with right. like, I mean, it's supposed to be pretty urban, the whole thing like nestled within. And I like the idea of it building demand, not only for all the kids playing soccer, but also being of use to the school district and anyone
Absolutely.
Else that needs it. And then, of course, just something fun to like minor league sports are so fun to do as a family. You know, they're affordable, but you still get professional grade experiences and performance. And it just seems like bite size and like kind of the right size for Longmont,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yep. And I know Windsor just got a very similar team up
right.
there, and it's been doing really well.
Yeah,
well,
do you
their
know
field
what that team
just
is?
Opened.
Yeah.
It's Hailstorm.
Hailstorm.
And
okay.
they've been running out of CSU Stadium
Whoa.
For quite a while because theirs
right.
wasn't
they were
built
established,
yet.
Right.
What but, a wild name.
I know, but I mean.
Well, so like we just talked about Hailstorm.
Isn't
like,
it?
Yeah, just ruined my brother's brand new roof. Let's call it Hailstorm. Let's shred the craps.
This destructive storm.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what they want. Like,
that's
we're gonna,
what
we're gonna
they
mess,
went for.
We're going to mess you up.
Yeah,
but it's
Windsor
totally Colorado.
We're an absolute front range phenomenon.
I mean,
we
it
are.
Was Windsor. They could have picked like Windstorm or something.
Yeah, or just like Black Velvet.
Breezy or something.
Could have gone
Strong Gus.
Black Velvet.
Black Velvet.
Windsor.
Have you ever seen the sports complex out here in Windsor? It's
no,
the
bubble.
Crazy.
It's
yeah,
giant.
It's huge. What all? They've got so much stuff. Like,
yeah, they have like 8 volleyball courts. They have a full soccer field inside there. Volleyball can change over to basketball. They have a bar, a lifting area.
Don't they have baseball too?
Outside.
Outside baseball.
Yeah, but inside the bubble is
oh.
like basketball, volleyball, and turf soccer field.
Kind
oh,
of
wow.
Like this whole, I'm hung up on the building itself. Like, and this is a Longmont podcast, so we can digress for a sec, but like 5,000 to 7,000 people.
Yeah.
How are you going to get to it?
I know.
Like, there's no...
I know.
The
crazy.
Road infrastructure is going to
yeah.
be difficult. But
well,
I will say for...
it's all contingent on a general improvement district being established and then a TIF, a tax increment thing
yeah.
for those property owners in the whole district, which, as we all know, are owned by, like, two very
yeah.
wealthy beer makers in
mm-hmm.
Longmont seem to own most of the properties around there. And
Equally
they're in favor.
Soccer supporters,
like,
too.
Also, oh,
I think
there
that's
you go.
The best part.
There you go. So I think it's all pretty aligned. I imagine
wow.
it will move forward. I think they're pretty far down the path. But I know, I feel like it's not that very, it's not just talked about that much. I don't know.
I'll say good on those guys down there if they're going to do that. Because you have that many people within walking distance of Left Hand.
Right.
That place is going to be.
Right. I mean, exactly.
Like, they're going to just blow that place up.
And that's not even why, that's not their, I mean, the tap room's like a funsy thing.
But you think, right? That's not. But you think about, like, okay, there's all of this development going in, and they're going to put more development in for, like, places to live, residencies, apartments and stuff. But you were having a bunch more that, I mean, honest to God, within walking distance of downtown. Like, really?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The whole point is to, like, this river district is intended to be completely connected to downtown. That it's on the edge.
Absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
That's, it's crazy. Like, and, like, I was complaining about, you know, bikes and, like, getting hit on 9th or whatever. And, like, there's going to be some walkability and stuff that you can really do well, I think, in this area. Bang.
Let me just punch the table while I'm at
Shut up. I got to go home. But, like, good on the city for making the center. And I hope that they, as this comes together, like, one, getting that many people in and out of there on game day. That to me, because I've been through there. I bike through there. I do all kinds of stuff. And it's Bowen. Nobody uses Bowen.
Right.
Like, it's dead quiet. Mm-hmm. So I'll be a little sad if I'm going to get, you know, killed on there if I'm biking. But there's a potential to do a really good job with, like, walkability from downtown and basically the Boston Street corridor in general, if that's, you know, urbanized or whatever, and you have people that can then, you know, cross-pollinate to downtown and these complexes and stuff. It's like, it's got a lot of potential. Yep. You know, I'm hopeful on it. So we'll see. So
I know. And I think the benefit of having that type of field in town too, where it could be kind of a neutral stadium for our soccer teams as well. Like you said, schools could use it. So, like, let's say we have our whatever, Mead High School just went to the semifinals, I believe, the women's or the girls team. They could host that game in a stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their own stadium, but, or let's say Mead and Silver Creek played and they played at Longmont Field. Why not play in that stadium?
Right.
And then, you know, the field use around town is getting so busy, so packed. Is it? So it is.
I can attest to this. Because
didn't you tell me the other week, sorry, real quick, that you got booted for something, right? Mm-hmm. At a Sandstone where you guys normally play or something?
Yep. So it's hard. Sandstone is becoming so overpopulated.
Already.
And, you know, the city, good on the city because they, you know, get these permits. They get all these teams to use it. But on a single Saturday, it's, or Sunday even, it's hard to get our kids' games in, or it's hard
there's
to.
There's not even that much parking out there. Does it get super full? There's not.
It is so packed out there.
I bet.
Yep. So it's like, the more facilities that we have in the area to play this game will just help facilitate the sport to grow even more. And, you know, I know it's one field, one stadium, but also there's no winter training areas also for a lot of our kids. So turf field would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And right now we have one turf field we can use outside.
Yeah, the school field off of whatever 11th and Francis.
Longmont High.
Yeah.
That one, that school field.
I never went to that school.
Unfortunately, we're not allowed to use those fields.
But, really? I mean, the thing about those, I can hear that field from my house.
Yeah.
And that place is ripping busy.
Yeah.
They have like a track meet going until like 10
o'clock.
There's
such a sports school.
Like it was like Thursday at 10. Like this. And it's like, are you guys not done? Like, it's getting dark and it's cold. Are you not done? And
nope.
Like, and I like, whatever. Like, you want to say close the window, it's not a big deal. But it's like, how is it still going on? But it's like booked all week. Like, there's something going on there
so
all the time.
So much use.
Yeah. I'm outside today, like, you know, puttering, like picking up dog poo or whatever. And it's just like, there's stuff going on all the time.
Right. Right.
So busy. So, like, if sport culture is a thing that we value as a community, sounds like we might need a little bit more because the ones that are there, because where I grew up, again, 13,300, 500 people, whatever it is, floating that way since the 50s, we had the one field and it was fine.
The one field.
You know? There's like one at the school and one at another school, but there's like one main field.
No, I mean, Sandstone alone hosts lacrosse, ultimate frisbee, all of our home games. So, you know, I just told you how many kids we have in our rec program, but then we have at least 6, 7, 8 competitive teams playing at home every weekend. Football, baseball there too. So it's like it was a great purpose park, right. But we're now in this conundrum of we've outgrown the space, and then the city has to make extra measures to maintain the grass, mm-hmm. you know, in the summer when we want to run programming or so any extra space would be awesome.
And this like really attests to like the type of town that Longmont is too, because like you've got all these youth programs and like, oh, well, it's just a sleepy family town. And it's like, well, no wonder bars don't stay open past 9. You got to wake up and get like your field time for your kids early in the morning. And like, this is where you go with all your kids, where the kids programs are. Like, Boulder's too expensive.
Right.
We're moving to Longmont. We're going to have, and then they've got all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah. Like, if you lived in some of the other Front Range cities, you can't afford to have families. It's like, yeah, well, it's pretty sleepy because everybody's tired because they're waking up in the morning and staying up late with the, you know, kids got to, whatever. Like, okay, yeah. I mean,
so who are some of the good soccer teams at the high school level in the Longmont area?
Well, the Mead girls team just went on. Oh God, they're going to kill me too. I think it was the semifinals.
Like state?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh.
They don't listen to this.
Okay, fair. Maybe one or two. You might have one.
Listen this week. It's but a special episode.
Shout to them because, I mean, what, 5 or 6 of their starters are competitive soccer players with our club. So it's like to see it all come full circle. And just knowing, you know, when I grew up, we'd play, Longmont would play Niwot, and it would be half our club team versus half our club team. And that's just, high school sports are so fun in that sense, right? But the stronger programs are Silver Creek, Mead right now, and that's from a girl's perspective. Boys can waver up and down so much too. So it kind of depends on the year too. You know, 1 year you have your strong senior class.
All your seniors, yeah.
And then you have your strong freshman class. You're good for 4 years, and then you go back down, go back down the hill. So
get me out of here.
I'm just punching stuff left and right on the table.
A little like, yeah, punch drunk for sitting on the...
Almost lost mine. Well, I think we should wrap it up, unfortunately.
Yeah, we've been this doing this for like... Interesting. Oh, it's not that late. I thought it was going to be like 6 o'clock. Like, it's going to be 2 hours.
Here we are.
No, we've been having fun, though.
Good, good, good.
I know. Thank you for coming on, Tierney. Thank you. Where can people learn more about your club?
Sure. RealColorado.net. And we have 2 campuses. So we have our south campus and our north campus. If you just look at the top of the website, it says RC North, and it's going to have every program you're interested in. I'm going to start a preschool program in the fall, so I'm going to bebop from preschool to preschool. We have our little cubbies program, so U4s that are Saturday mornings, and then U5 through U15 rec, and then our competitive program and our junior academy tryouts were last week, and our competitive tryouts are next week. So May is the month.
Busy,
school
busy.
Ends, tryouts, tournaments, all of the above.
Get out there, get kicking.
Well, get kicking.
On that note, we should let you get going. Get back to it.
Get back to it.
Right. Go get them in line.
I'm going to run out of here.
All right.
Straight to the field.
Well, thank you again for coming on. And my one last ditch promo that I didn't do was buy your tickets for Victory Boyd, June 9th.
June
check
9th.
It out. St. Vrain. Check it out. Victory Boyd. I'll leave the link in the show notes.
Do you have backstage passes for us?
I do. And I've got backstage passes for every Side Dish listener that buys a ticket. And if you buy a ticket, you tell me, and I'll make sure you get some access, special access, okay? All right.
It's a bonus.
Well, I've never gotten anything out of this, but this will be the best thing I've ever gotten.
Exactly. Well, as always, we thank Andy Epler and David Cutter Music for our intro and outro music. And if you haven't yet, please follow us, subscribe, like, and send us your comments at sidedishlongmont@gmail.com. And always, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.